All right, Rabosai, let's begin. Today's daf is Kuf Yud in Meseches Menachos. Rabosai, the last blot. I thought my WhatsApp was going to be flooded with dedications this morning. Mamashu doesn't want to dedicate the last daf of Menachos. Schoenfeld family is dedicating the last daf of Menachos in honor of table one. Good. In Yerz Hashem, they should experience a rebirth with Maseches Chulin. In Yerz Hashem. Shkoyach. Okay, and our shir, of course, is dedicated this morning by Sammy and Malka Esterson in honor of the Yartzeits of their parents, Ludwig Stiefel, Yitzchok Leben Aaron Akoin, and Hinda Esterson, Hinda Basenach Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Tamator, the Neshamos Avon Aliyah. Rabosai, let's begin. We left off. We have a lot to do today, actually. Today's daf is Kuf Yud 110, but feels like it's Kuf Tes also today. So we are picking up on 109B in the wide lines. Second wide line. Let's just pick up beginning of second wide line. Michlal, the base chonyo labam. Well, let's go chavim. Nabosai, the Gemara says, based on the conversation, the extensive conversation we had yesterday, it sounds like that the temple of chonyo. So remember again, chonyo, as we're going to see in just a moment, was the son of Shimon HaTzadik. We are about to see this riveting story unfold in front of us right now. So the Gemara says, the temple of chonyo was not an idolatrous temple. Watch this. Tanya Kiman Damar Beis Chanyo Lava Vodas Kochavimu. So the Gemara says, now we're going to see, according to the opinion, that the temple of Chanyo was not a Beis Avodas Kochavim. Here we go. Bosai, I just want to tell you, what I can't get over about this is, we've had virtually no Agadata, as you might have noticed, throughout the last 109 blot of this Mesechta. And it's amazing, this last blot, somebody was mentioning this to me yesterday. Sometimes, there are certain Mesechtas that have like a famous ending, like Mesechas Makos. Menachos is not one of those Mesechtos that's known for its famous endings. I was thinking about why, then I realized, probably because most people don't learn Mesechas Menachos. So who knows the ending? Well, so we're going to get to see a dramatic ending over here. So here we go, says the Gemara. Disanyo. Osa Shana Shamesh Shimon HaTzadik. Rabosai, incredible Gemara. This is a Gemara, actually Maseches Yuma, famous Maisa. Osa Shana Shamesh Shimon HaTzadik. Rabosai, that year that Shimon HaTzadik died. Remember again, Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol. We mentioned him in Pirkei Avos. Hayom Shiyari Knesses HaGedola, Anshe Knesses HaGedola. He was one of the last remaining surviving members of the Anshe Knesses HaGedola. So Amar Lahen Shana Zuhu Meis. He came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he said to his family, this year I'm going to die. Amru lo minayin ata yodea. So his family said to him, how do you know that? This is wild. Amru lohem, kol yom kippurim nizdamin lizakin echad lavush levanim, v'nis ateif levanim. Every year when I go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's an old man who is lavush levanim nizakin. So he's wearing white and he's wrapped in white. V'nichnas imi v'yatsa imi. He goes in with me to the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he leaves with me from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shanazu, this year, Nizdamin Zakin Echad Lavush Shchorim V'Nis Atev Shchorim. This year, the old man was dressed in black and wrapped in black. V'Nichnasimi, he went in with me to the Kodesh HaKadoshim V'Lo Yotzeimi, but he did not come out with me. So the commentaries discuss who exactly is this Ish. It could be a Kodesh representation of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, one of the Malachim. The symbolism here being the going in and coming out. Shimon HaTzadik goes in peace, comes out in peace. This year again, it's wrapped. The man is wrapped in black, of course, a symbol of mourning. Goes in, but does not come out. La'achar ha'regel chala shivas yamim umis. After Yom Tov was over, Shimon HaTzadik becomes sick for 7 days, and he died. We'll say after that, as a result, v'nimnu echav ha'kohanim milavarech b'shem. As a sign of mourning after his death, the Kohanim stopped using the true Shem Hashem in their Birchas Kohanim. B'shas petira, so we'll say, at the time of his death, Amr Lahem, he said to the other Kohanim, Chonyo b'ni yishamesh tachtai. Chonyo, my son, should be the replacement Kohen Gadol. You will say, even though technically speaking, right, the Kohen Gadol is not necessarily hereditary. I should say differently. The Kohen Gadol is not hereditary. Nevertheless, again, it seems to be a startle that if the Kohen Gadol had a righteous son, that it would make sense to go ahead and appoint that individual. So Shimon HaTzadik leaves instructions that his son Chanyo yishamish tachtai. His son Chanyo ultimately again should be the next Kohen Gadol. Here is the problem. We'll say this is actually this week's parasha. Niskana bo shimi achiv shahaya gadol mimenu shtei shanim umechza. Chanyo had an older brother by the name of Shimi. Shimi was 2.5 years older than Chanyo. And of course, the sibling rivalry begins. Because now Shimi feels like he should have been the Kohen Gadol. He was the oldest brother. And here he gets passed over for his younger brother. So Amrlo, so we'll say Shimi is very upset and decides to go ahead and figure out a way to get Chanyo out of the picture. Amrlo, so Shimi, the older brother, says to Chanyo, his younger brother, Bo, ve'elamdecha seder avoda. Come, you know what? Mazel tov on your new appointment. You know, I've been watching Dad for the last number of years. Let me go ahead and teach you about the avoda. So what happens? He'll bisho ba'unkali v'chagro b'tziltzu. So he tells Shimi to put on, I will say, if you look at Rashi, first short line, unkali, malbush shel or. So this is like a leather shirt, but as we're going to see, it's more like a leather blouse. Vitziltzel, bless you. Tziltzel is a belt. So Moshe tells him to put on these garments, as we're going to see in just a moment, that were more feminine garments. Put on these garments, and when I'll teach you how to do the avoda. So what happens? Ha'emidu etzel ha'mizbeach. So Shimi tells Chanyo, you know what? Stand here by the mizbeach. I'll be back in a second. Amr lahem la'echav ha'kohanim. Shimi runs over to the fellow Kohanim, and what does he say? Ru'u, ma neder ze v'kiyum la'avaso. Oh, so this is a wild story. Shimi goes over to the Kohanim and says, look what Chanyo is doing. Chanyo made a promise to his wife. What was the promise to his wife? He said to her, O sahayom she'eshtamish pekahuna gidola, elbosh ba'unkali shalechi, ve'echkar betzultzul shalechi. Chanyo promised his wife, I love you so much that on the day that I am appointed Kohen Gadol, I'm going to wear your blouse and I'm going to wear your belt as a sign of my incredible undying love for you. Shavuot say, Shimi obviously set up his younger brother Chanyo. And again, at this point in time, Shimi's making it look like that what? That Chanyo is disparaging the avoda. So what happens? Bikshu echav ha-kohanim lahargo. Shavuot say, so the other kohanim, if you could imagine, come running to Chanyo to kill him. Ratz mipnehem. So Chanyo does the only logical thing. What does he do? He runs from them. V'ratzu acharav. And they ran after him. Halach la'alach zandru shal Mitzrayim. And so ultimately again, Chanyo runs to Alexandria. Ubana sham mizbeach. And it's there that he built himself an altar. V'he'ala alav l'shum avodos kochavim. And I will say, amazingly enough, what ends up happening? What ends up happening is that Chanyo, who again we have absolutely no reason to believe was not a good person, after all he was appointed by his father, Shimon HaTzadik, to be the Kohen Gadol, is so disenfranchised and is so upset. I will say, understandably so. You know, again, if you notice what's missing from this story? Hey, Chanyo, what's going on? Right? By the way, before we kill you, maybe just a word. Right? Maybe just a little bit of a conversation. Maybe just let's clear this up. Because this is what Shimi is telling us to say. And none of that happened. They pursued him, ready to kill him. He runs away to Mitzrayim, to Alexandria, ultimately builds a temple for Avodah Zarah. Ukisha shamu chachamim bedavar. And I will say, this is amazing. When the chachamim heard about this story, in other words, ultimately, I guess, the story unfolds. Obviously, it's recorded in the Gemara. Amru, I will say, see, we learn an incredible lesson. Mazesh le yorad Allah. So Rabbi Meir says like this, you learn an incredible lesson here about how much people crave power. If you see how Shimi, who wasn't given the position of power, yet what lengths he went to in order to go ahead and get that power from himself, all the more so people who are given power, to what lengths they will go to preserve it. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, lo kach haya maisa. So also Rabbi Yehuda says, that's actually not the story. There's a different story. Ella lo kibel alav chanyo. Rabbi Yehuda says, listen to this. The story actually is that Shimon HaTzadik on his deathbed says, my son Chanyo is going to be the Kohen Gadol. He appoints Chanyo as the Kohen Gadol. Chanyo says, Dad, no. Thank you very much. I have an older brother, Shimi. Give it to Shimi. And what happens? Shayashimi Achav Gadol Menor Sheshano Mechza. Because ultimately, again, Chanyo decided, you know what, Shimi is 2.5 years older than me. Give it to Shimi. Va'afa Pikein Niskane Bachanyo B'Shimi Achav. And I will say, even though, again, Chanyo was offered it, and Chanyo willingly passed on it, he was still jealous of his older brother Shimi, that Shimi became the Kohen Gadol. So we'll say, so what does he do? Chanyo now has Kohen Gadol remorse. He's upset that he passed on the opportunity. See, he wants it back. How is he going to get it back? So we'll say, same story, just in this version, the characters are switched. So what happens? Amrlo, Ba'avalam Decha Saved Ravoda. So we'll say, so in this version, Chanyo says to Shimi, listen, Shimi, father was training me all of these years. I know how to do the avoda. Why don't you come and I'll show you how to do the avoda? Vil bisho ba'unkali v'chagro b'tzilzul. He goes ahead and we'll say same story. So, but this case again, Chanyo tells Shimi, why don't you put on the leather blouse and the belt, and I'll train you how to go ahead and do the avoda. V'amidu etz ha'mizbeach. And ultimately, again, he puts him by the mizbeach. Amar lehemlech av kohanim, ru'u ma nadar zeh v'kiyem la'avasal. So we'll say, osa hayom sheyishtamish pekuna gidola elbo shbunkali shalechi ve'echkar b'tzutzul shalechi. So we'll say, so again, same story, just characters are reversed. In this version, again, Chanyo goes over to the kohanim, trying to disparage Shimi. Look what Shimi is doing. He's wearing his wife's clothing on the day that he's inaugurated as the Kohen Gadol. He must have made some type of lover's vow to her on the day that I assume the avoda. I'll wear your clothing as a sign of my undying love for you. And he's disparaging the avoda. Bikshu Echav HaKohanim Lahargo. We'll say the one common denominator in both of these stories is apparently Kohanim are always ready to kill the guy. Right? That's the part of the story that doesn't change. But here, There is a dramatic detail that changes. Soch lohem kala ma'ora. Both say in this version of the story, when they're ready to come kill Shimi, Shimi says, "Hey, wait, let me tell you what happened. This is a setup." And what happens? Bikshu la'arog es Chanyo. Ultimately, again, the Kohanim decide that they're going to kill Chanyo because, again, now everything that Chanyo did comes out. Ratz mipneihem, both say first are the widest lines. Chanyo runs away. Ratzu acharav, they run after him. Ratz lebeis hamelech, he runs to the house of the king. Ratzu acharav. Kala roa osa omer zehu zeh. Zehu, so what happened? Kala roa osa omer zehu zeh. Who halach la Alexandria shal Mitzrayim. So we'll say they were running after him. People were outing him. He finally runs away to Alexandria. Ubana sham. He built there. Sham is bech, an altar for himself. Not just an altar, by the way, but a temple. V'ha'ala alav l'shem shamayim. And ultimately, again, he goes ahead, but it was not a temple of Avodah Zarah. Instead, it was a temple, ultimately, again, for the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the pasuk says, Shene emar v'haya bayom ahu yem izbeach laHashem b'soch eres Mitzrayim umatseva itzel gvula laHashem. So we'll say, so apparently again, the pasuk itself foreshadows the idea that Mitzrayim would have a house that was dedicated to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was the metaphoric foreshadow, ultimately again, to the temple built by Chanyo. So Rabbi will say, so this is the fundamental machlokes of whether or not the house, the temple that Chanyo built, was it a house for Avodah Zarah? Was it a house for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Again, understanding clearly, even if it's a house for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're still not allowed to offer up karbanos there. But at least it's not Avodah Zarah. Fundamental machlokes. So Kishashamu Chachamim Medavar, when the rabbis heard this story, Amru, they said as follows, Umazesh Shebaruch Mimenu, if this is what a person who ran away from Kavod will do to secure Kavod, because remember in this version of the story, what happened? Shimon HaTzadik offers Chanyo the Kehuna Gedola. Chanyo says, no, thank you. Give it to Shimi. He gives it to Shimi, has remorse about that, and you see the extent he's going to have his brother killed in order to get back the Kavod. So if this is the extent that someone goes for Kavod even after they passed on it, can you imagine what people who want Kavod, what lengths they will go to? Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Prachio. Betchila, I will say, is actually a very profound idea. So we'll say this story, and by the way, there's actually so much more to say on this, because just the notion of brothers turning against brothers, which unfortunately, again, is a dynamic that's introduced. I mean, it's not introduced in the sixth parasha. We've seen a number of parashos in Bereishis is so profound and very often becomes the very undoing of Klal Yisrael. But okay, we'll go by to Tanya. On Yerusha ben Prachya, B'tchila, let's listen to this statement. Yerusha ben Prachya said as follows, B'tchila, kola omer aleila anikovso. Yerusha ben Prachya said, whoever would have once said to me, I think you should become the Nasi, kovso, I would have tied them up, and I would feed them to a lion. So Rav Shimon Brachia, obviously a bit hyperbolic, but is saying, if anyone would have ever told me to assume a position of leadership, I would have fed them to the lions. Who wants that position of leadership? Who needs the headaches? Who needs the difficulties? Who needs the tsaris? Everyone's always angry at you. So what do you need it for? So I would literally feed them to the lions. Ata, so Rav Shimon Brachia has been added on the Nasi, akala omer li leireid mimena, Animatal alav kumkum shal chamin. But now that I am the Nasi, if somebody would tell me to leave my position, I would pour a pot of boiling water on their head. So we'll say, so an incredible idea. That, you know, in the beginning, so a person doesn't want the kavod. I don't want the kavod. Then once you get the kavod, you do not want to give up the kavod for anything. Shari shol barach mimeno. So we'll say the paradigmatic example of this. There are many examples of this, but one of them is shol. Shol, when he's appointed king, ultimately again ran away from this appointment. Ukisha'ala bike shlarog es David. Yet I will say once he becomes king, and Shmuel tells him he's no longer king, and David has been appointed king, shol runs after David to kill him. Amrali mar kashish reid rav chisla abaye. Rabbi Meir haikrad Rabbi Huda my avide. So we'll say Rabbi Meir, what does he do with the pasuk of Rabbi Huda? Because remember, again, Rabbi Huda quotes the pasuk from Yishayo that foreshadows the idea that a house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be built in Mitzrayim, which Rabbi Huda holds refers to the temple built by Chanyo. Rabbi Meir holds that the temple built by Chanyo was for Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara asks, what does Rabbi Meir do with the pasuk quoted by Rabbi Huda? So the Gemara says, the Chidisanya. I'm sorry. Listen to this. After Sancheiriv was destroyed, Yatzeh Chizkiyah, Umatzu b'nei malachim shayoshem mikran shal zav. So also listen to this. So remember again, Sancheiriv marches on Yerushalayim. Ultimately, again, his army is wiped out overnight. An incredible, miraculous display of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power. So what happens? Chizkiyah comes out. The city of Yerushalayim was under siege. Sancheiriv and his army wiped out. Chizkiyah comes out of Yerushalayim after the siege is laid to waste. And what does he find? He finds princes who were sitting in their golden carriages, who had accompanied Sancheiriv on his campaign to conquer Yerushalayim, and now they're sitting outside of Yerushalayim, all dressed up, nowhere to go. So what does he say? Hidiran shelo la'avod avodas kochavim. He made them swear that they would renounce idolatry. Shene emar, bayomahu yechomish aram baris and sayim midbaros, svask midabros, svaskinan, top of kof yud, v'nishbaos la'ashem tzivakos. Ultimately, again, so Rabbi Meir also understands that the pasuk actually foreshadows the idea that Chizkiyah told some of the princes of Egypt, he made them swear that, or made them take a neder, that they were no longer going to go ahead and worship idolatry. So what happens? These princes then went on to Alexandria in Egypt. Ubanu Mizbeach, they built an altar. V'he'elu alav l'shem shamayim. And they started serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenei Amar, Bayomo Yem Mizbeach LaHashem B'soch Eretz Mitzrayim. So fine. So we'll say, so therefore again, that's how Rabbi Meir ultimately understands the pasuk. It's not a reference ultimately to the house built by Chanyo, but rather it's a reference to the temple built by these princes whom Chizkiyah adjured not to go ahead and worship idolatry anymore. Good. The Gemara asks a question on the pasuk now. Pasuk from Yishayo. Bayoma, here, the pasuk he's quoting the end of is, Ir haheres, ye omer la'achos. So we'll say, what's Ir haheres? My Ir haheres, yomar la'achos. Kidlimetargim Rav Yosef, karta debes shemesh. But we'll say, this ultimately again refers to a city in the Valley of the Sun the asid lemichrav. So the I should say the asid lemichrav. I it amar di he chada min hon. So I will say, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, oh, actually, not yet, I'm sorry. This refers ultimately again to one of the cities. We're going to define what this means in just a moment. This refers ultimately again to one of the cities, literally, Karta de Beit Shemesh, which is a city in the Valley of the Sun, Da'asid Lemichrav Aitamar Dahi Chadam Inhon, which was one of the cities that ultimately, again, was mentioned in the Pasuk before. One of the cities represented by one of the princes who was outside of Yerushalayim, who subsequently gave up idolatry and participated in the building of the Beis Hashem in Alexandria. Umimai, the ira heres lishon de shimshu. So I think Gemara just asks an etymological question. From where do you know that heres means sun? So the Gemara says, Dichsev haomer lacheres velo yizrach. He speaks to the sun or the heres and it does not shine. Hevi b'nei merchak ubino saim mikteh aretz. So we'll say, so the Gemara now quotes the Pasuk from Yeshaya. Listen to this. It says, Havi'i banai me'rachok, bring my sons from far away, ubenosai mikzeh ha'aretz, and my daughters from the edge of the land. So we'll say, so what does this mean? So the Gemara is going to ask, Amar Rav Huna, Elu Golios Shababa. So we'll say, obviously the Pasuk is talking about the ingathering of the exiles. So the Pasuk seems to discuss two different forms of ingathering. The sons are brought merachok from far away, ubenos samikzeh aretz, and the daughters are brought from the edge of the land. So we'll say, what does this mean? Haviu banai merachok, amrafuna elu galios shel bavel. This refers to the Jews in the diaspora of Bavel, shadaiton miyusheves aleihen kibanin. But this is a very profound statement. This refers to the Jews in Bavel, because their minds are settled like sons. Ubenosai mikzeh aretz, and my daughters from the edge of the land, elu golios shel shar aratzos. This refers to the Jews in other diasporas, she'ein daitan miyusheves alehen kibanos, whose minds are not settled like daughters. I'll say, what does this mean? It's actually amazing. Take a look at Rashi. This is the top Rashi. It's right after the two, literally the top line in Rashi. Das zecharim miyusheves alehen yoser mishal mekevos. So the Gemara says that men enjoy a different inner tranquility than women. So I'm not sure exactly what Rashi is conveying here, but on a basic level, Rashi is saying is that apparently men are sometimes calmer than women. So ultimately, again, no need to comment on this, right? So ultimately, again, what the Gemara is saying is like this is actually quite amazing. There are two different types of gullus. There is a type of gullus where we're like men, i.e., that although we are in Galus, our minds are settled because Baruch Hashem, things are good. And then there are other types of Galios, other types of diasporas where we are like women, i.e. on edge. There's something happening. There's something going on. Our minds are not settled. So Rashi points out over here something amazing. B'nei Bavel, ein lahem ol malchus, kishar Galios shebechal ratza. So the Gemara says over here, ultimately, again, giving examples of this, the Gemara says it. Amar Rav Huna, Elu Galios Shel Bavel, Shedaiton Miyusheves Alein Kibanim. So the Gemara says, an example of this is like Bavel. We'll say, although Bavel was Galus, at the end of the day, again, it was a Galus that was incredibly supportive of our spiritual growth, of our Ruchni growth, of our material growth, and therefore, because of that, it's kischarim. It's like sons. It's galus. But Baruch Hashem, it's good. Our minds are settled, as opposed to many other diasporas where it's banos mikzeh aretz. We're on edge. There's drama. There's difficulty. Ubenosai mikzeh aretz. So the Gemara says elo galios shashar aratzos. This refers ultimately again to the galios of other lands. Shein daiton miusheves alein kibanos. Ultimately, again, our minds are not settled. Just like girls are always on edge, there's always some level of drama. So ultimately, again, there were galios where there was always some level of drama as well. Amravi Abba Barav Yitzchak Amrav Chista Varmi Amravi Huda Amrav Mitzur Vaad Kartigni Makir Nes Yisrav Asavei Yisrav Shem. Well, this is just an interesting statement. Rav is the name of Rav from Tzur. We'll say Tzur is tire. Right, T-Y-R-E is Tyre, Lebanon. From Tsur until Kartigni, wherever that was. So they recognized Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll say, this is, now remember again, this was an area of Galus as well. But in this particular Galus, ultimately, again, they recognized Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umitzur Klape Meirav, but ultimately, again, from Tsur and westward, umikartigni klape mizrach, and from kartigni and eastward, in makirin es yisrael v'lo asavim shuva shrayim. They did not recognize Klal Yisrael. In other words, Klal Yisrael didn't have an impact. But also what the Gemara is saying over here is the same idea. There are some golios, there are some diaspora existences where we were part of society, recognized by society, respected by society, and when the Jew is respected, his God was respected as well. And other diasporas in which, again, we were not. We were not. Eisir sim barchil l'rav. Mimizrach shemesh ad nevo, shemi godol shemi bagoyim. So we'll say this is actually quite fascinating. So the Yomar quotes over here the Pasuk from Malachi, and the Pasuk seems to indicate that what? From the east of the sun until it sets, my name is great amongst the nations, and in every place, Muktar Mugash Lashmi, they're offering up karbanos to my name, Umincha Toro. Which we'll say sounds like what? That they're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu where? Everywhere. Everywhere. Amrle Simiat, so we'll listen to this. So Rav Simi is asking this question to Rav. So Rav says, it's you who they call Simi? It's you. Now we'll say, now what does this mean? So if you look at Rashi, this is actually dramatically amazing. Simiat bitmiya atu simi chacham gadol makshali davar zeh. So we'll say, according to the first version in Rashi, Rav was giving Rav Simi a shtach. Essentially, what kind of question is that? Right, what kind of question is that? You're the great Rav Simi, and the great Rav Simi asks a klutz kasha like that. So that's the first possibility. But look at the second part of Rashi. This is amazing. V'yish omrim, Rav lo haya zokef einav, ela kavshan kol sham mishum tznius. Both say this is amazing. Others explain that Rav was so careful with Shmira Seinayim, that Rav was so careful with what he looked at, al tznius, that very rarely did he look around, but rather he kept his eyes shifted downward, to the point that sometimes he didn't even recognize certain people. So Simiat would literally be an interrogative. You sound like Rav Simi. Are you Rav Simi? Well, isn't it amazing? Obviously, he's talking about a different level, but for someone to be so careful with Shmira Seinayim, that literally, again, he's more often than not looking downwards, that he doesn't even recognize certain people. Again, that's not the level that's expected of us, but it tells us an incredible sensitivity we have to have to what we look at. So the Gemara says as follows, Simiat dekarila eloka de eloka. You're right, the nations of the world recognize God, but what do they call God? They call God, Kodesh Baruch Hu, the God of gods, which Rabbi say ultimately means what? Ultimately means what? They recognize God, but they don't recognize God as a singular God. Instead, they recognize God as what? A God amongst gods. V'chol mokom muktar mugash l'shmi. The Pasuk says, in every place they're going to offer up karbanos to me. V'chol mokom asagol etach. Could it really be that the Navi saying they're going to offer up karbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu everywhere? I'm Rabbi Shoah Nachmani, I'm Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi said, this is amazing. Eilu talmidi chachamim ha'oskim b'torah b'chol mokom. Rabbi says, it actually refers, what does it mean when it says that they're going to offer up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu everywhere karbanos? So the Gemara says, this refers to talmidi chachamim who ha'oskim b'torah b'chol mokom, who learn Torah everywhere. Ma'ala ani aleim kilu maktirin u'magishon l'shmi. Rabbi says, when a Jew learns Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's kilu, they're offering up karbanos. And the incredible part is you can only offer up a karban inside the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, but yet you can learn Torah anywhere and everywhere. And when you go and you learn Torah wherever you are, it's as if you're offering up karbanos, o mincha tahora. And we'll say, what does it mean when it says it'll be a mincha tahora? Zahalome Torah betaira. We'll say, it's actually very interesting. Mincha tahora means Chodesh Baruch Hu says, I want them to offer up a mincha tahora. What's a mincha tahora? Halome Torah betaira. One who learns Torah in a state of purity. No se'isha, the Acharkach Lomei Torah. This refers, Rabbi say, to someone who gets married first and learns Torah afterwards. Rabbi say, it doesn't mean you wait to learn Torah until after you get married. What it means is that you go ahead and you get married at a young age in order that you can learn Torah B'Tara. Rabbi say, the logic behind that is because if a person is married, he has a permitted outlet, ultimately, again, for his desires, and therefore, again, doesn't have to be preoccupied with thoughts of those desires, instead could focus his mind, ultimately, again, on his Torah. Now, I will say, what I will point out, if you remember back to our Kiddushin days, this is the source of a fundamental dispute. Should a person learn Torah first and then get married? And by the way, it's not just learn Torah. The Gemara says, quotes opinions that says, a person should learn a Torah, should build a house, should have some money in the bank, right? Should go ahead and, because the goal is when you get married, I know it sounds crazy, you should be self-sufficient, right? Ridiculous when people come up with these things, right? Right? But the idea ultimately is, so, or is it better to get married young, recognizing that again, there'll still be a dependency, but because again, a person has that physical relationship, ultimately again, will be able to focus his mind on other things. So I'm just pointing out, it's a machlokes in the Gemara. Here the Gemara is quoting one side of this. Halomei Torah betara, no se'isha va'acharkach lomei Torah. So mincha Torah bose means that a person should get married young, so that his mind is settled and he can learn Torah betara. Shira malos, hinei baruch hu es Hashem kol avdi Hashem, ha'ov din beveis Hashem ba'leilos. So we'll listen to this. Quotes another pasuk, a song of ascents. We have blessed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all those who serve God, who stand in the house of God, balelos. My balelos. What does it mean at night? Some Rabbi Yochanan, this is amazing. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Eilu Tamidi Chacham Ha'oskim HaTorah Balaylo. Bose, it's the first of people to Tamidi Chacham who learn Torah at night. Ma'ale Alein HaKosav Kilo Asukim Ba'avodah. Ultimately, again, Bose, if you take up your nighttime hours, which are normally reserved for relaxation and sleep, and you go out and you take them ultimately again to learn, so it's as if, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, as if you offered up karbanos. Li'olam Zos Al Yisrael, Am Rav Gil, Am Rav Zemiz Beach Banoi, Umichal Sar Hagadol Omet Umakrev Alav Karban. Well, this is actually incredible. Li'olam Zos Al Yisrael, and forever this will be for Klal Yisrael. So Rav Gil understands this means even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, Shalmata, the earthly Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash Shamala, the celestial Beis HaMikdash, is still intact. And what's happening? Even if we can't offer karbanos here, Michael, the right hand Malach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is offering up karbanos in the celestial sphere. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Elu Tamid Chachamim. Listen to this, Rabbi saying, Ha'oskim Behilchos Avoda. So this refers to Tamid Chacham who are learning the halachos of karbanos. Ma'ala Alei Makasuv Kilu Nivne Mikdash B'yemehem. Rabbi Yochanan, we've sometimes thought to ourselves, what have we been doing for the last 110 days? Learning about details of every single karbon. Every single detail. Rabbi Yochanan, you know what we've been doing? This pasuk. That when you learn the halachos of avoda, when you learn the halachos of the Beis HaMikdash, ma'ale alein akosav kilo nivna mikdash b'yemehem. Rabbi Yochanan, for the last 110 days, it is as if the Beis HaMikdash, we have had the Beis HaMikdash with us. When you learn the halachos of the avoda, even if you don't understand every single detail, but you're toiling to do it, it's as if not only you're building the Beis HaMikdash, it's as if the Beis HaMikdash is built. It's as if you're living inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Amrei Shlagish, Mai Dichsev Zeos HaTorah. We'll say, it's said over this drasha so many times, but again, we'll say, it's amazing, by the way, you see what the Gemara is doing? It's funny, it would have been actually wonderful to have a lot of these Gemaras at the beginning of the Masechta. Mm-hmm. It would have girded us with like the right kind of chizuk. But I will say again, you know what? Sometimes you have to do it even without the chizuk in life. You just have to do it, and the merit of the chizuk comes afterwards. Zos HaTorah, li'ola, l'mincha, l'chatas, u'l'asham. This is the Torah for the ola, the mincha, the chatas, the asham. Listen to this, we'll say, amazing. Kala osik batorah ki l'hikriv ola, mincha, chatas, v'asham. Whoever learns Torah, it's as if you have offered up the ola, the mincha, the chatas, and the asham. Amar Rav, Rav says, one second, Hai la'ola la'mincha, ola u'mincha mi ba'ile. If that's the case, the pasuk should have said, not la'ola la'mincha, but ola u'mincha. And Amar Rav, Rav says, no, it's a little bit more of a nuanced lesson. Kala osik batora, eino tzarech, la'ola v'lo chatas v'lo mincha v'lo asham. Bosei, Rav says that if you learn Torah, specifically again the sections of the Karbanos, you don't need the ola, the chatas, the mincha. This doesn't mean you don't need. Obviously, if the Beis HaMikdash is standing, you need it. But what it's saying ultimately is what? That it's ki'ilu, you have it. That if you go ahead and you learn these sugyas, it's as if you're offering up these karbanos. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mai Dichsev, Zos Toras HaChatos, V'Zos Toras HaAsham, Kala Osek Batoras Chatos, Kilu Hikrev Chatos. I will say, this is the most magnificent lesson. When you learn about the chatos, it's as if you've offered up the chatos. V'chala osik b'toras asham. And if you go ahead and you learn the Torah of asham, kilo hikriv asham. I will say, that's what we've been doing. We've been spending day in, day out, learning about the karbonos. I will say, you'll say to yourself, nu, what do I have to show for it? What do you have to show for it? Every single day you learned about the mincha. you offered up a mincha. And even though, again, the Karban Omer can only be offered up on the second day of Yontiv, we got to offer up a Karban Omer for every single day of a number of different weeks. And we got to offer up Chatos, and Ashamos, and Nidavos, and every Karban we learned about the Rabbi Seif was Ki'ilu. We were standing in the Beis HaMikdash, and we had the opportunity to offer up that Karban. But say, Ein Zuchus Gidola Mizo, to be able to not just learn a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Torah, but to stand in the confines of the Beis HaMikdash and offer up these Karbanos. That's what we've been doing for the last 110 days. Mishnah. Nehemar Ba'olos Be'en, Rabbi Seif, this is, it's just incredible. Nehemar Ba'olos Be'ema Ishe Reach Nichoach. So we'll say it says by the Olas Behema. So remember again, Olas Behema, the Gemara chooses this as an example because an Ola is an animal that is totally consumed on the Mizbeach. So I get nothing from it. I give it all to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Behema represents the largest type of animal. So if you think about it, from a carbonic perspective, Olas Behema is the most dramatic type of carbon. It's an Ola and it's a Behema. So it says by Olas Behema, Reach Nichoach, Uba Olas Ha'of. Now we'll say, if you think about it conversely, the smallest carbon is what? Is what? Is an Olas Ha'of. That's the smallest carbon. So Ishe Reach Nichoach. Uba Mincha, Ishe Reach Nichoach. Now we'll say, now Mincha is not even an animal offering, right? It's just a flower offering. It says a fire offering, Reach Nichoach means a pleasing aroma to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll say, so what's the Pshat? What the Mishnah is picking up on over here is he uses the same lashon of Reach Nichoach, a pleasing aroma, from the biggest carbon to the smallest carbon. What's the pshat? Isn't how beautiful this is? It's not just for grunts, it's for life. Lomar lecha, echad hamarba ve'echad hamamit, ubilvad shi'echavein libo l'shan. Rabbi Yosef teaching us an incredible lesson. Whether you give a lot or whether you give a little, the ikar is that you give your heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribon Shalom doesn't need my behema, and he doesn't need my oven, he doesn't need my mincha. What he needs is the one thing he doesn't possess, which is my heart. If I give him whatever it is that I'm giving him, with a complete heart, it's a ishe reach nichoach la kodesh baruch hu. That's what, it's my heart that creates the pleasing aroma. I'm Rabbi Zera, Mikra. So we'll say, what Rabbi Zera says, what's the pasuk that backs up this assertion? Mesuka shnasa obeit im ma'at vim harbe yochal yochal. So we'll say, so the pasuk quotes over here, the pasuk from Koheles, that Mesuka shnasa obeit im ma'at vim harbe yochel v'asavala asher nemanech. So we'll say, it's actually the Gemara quotes over here, shnasa obeit avodas ha-karbanos. So the Gemara is dashing it over here. It refers to the person who offers up karbanos, umaviyel mizbeach, and ultimately he brings it to the mizbeach. His sleep is sweet. I.e., he can rest assured, im ma'at v'im harbe yochal. Whether he gives a lot or whether he gives a little, he will eat, he will reap the benefits of his avoda. In other words, as long as he's giving it with a genuine heart, ultimately, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be happy with his offering. Rav Adamar Ava Armehacha, Birabo Satova Rabo Ochla, Umakishon Labala. So we'll say Rav Adamar Ava just brings up a different pasuk. Tanya, Amri Rishon Ben Azai. Bo re'e maksib parshas kabanos, shelo ne'emar bahen, lo el v'lo elokim, ela Hashem. So we'll say, interestingly enough, if you look in the parshas of kabanos, so the Torah doesn't use the lashon of kel, the Torah doesn't use the lashon of elokim, rather the Torah just uses lashon of yudke vavke, shelo litein pischon pe lebaldin lachlok, in order not to go ahead and what? To give any fuel for those to go ahead and say that there are many gods. In other words, there's only one name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu used in the parashios of Karbanos, in order to show that we are only offering our Karbanos to one God and not to multiple gods. V'ne'emar b'shor hagas ishereach nichoach, u'ba'of hadak ishereach nichoach, u'b'mincha ishereach nichoach. And Rabbi, as we said before, it says whether you're offering up a big shor, or you're offering up a small bird, or you're offering up a mincha, it uses the same lashon of a pleasing aroma. Lomar lacha, echad hamarbe ve'echad hamamit, ubilvad shi'echavein libo l'shein. Rabbi said to teach us an incredible lesson. Whether you are giving a lot or whether you are giving a little, ultimately, again, the goal is dedicate your heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rabbi said, now again, I want to be clear on this. So we'll say, echad hamarbe ve'echad hamamit does not mean it's okay just to do a little as long as you're genuine. I want to be clear with this, right? Right? Echad hamarbe means, right? I want to be clear. You know what's even better? Is to be marbe and to give your heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do a lot and do it genuine. That's the goal. Do a lot and do it genuine. What I'm saying about says that sometimes in life we are precluded from doing a lot from a variety of different reasons. Yeah. It could be financial reasons. Ultimately, again, the person can't bring the shahr. He can only bring the oath. He can only bring the mincha. Sometimes he's down on himself. I'm only bringing an inferior karban. To Chesh Baruch, who says, no, chas v'shalom, do not be down on yourself. Why? Because as long as what you're doing is genuine, then what? Chesh Baruch, who says, I love it. It's a reach nichoach. In life, Rabbi say, you have to do whatever you can do. But you have to be honest with what you can do. Because sometimes we say, I can only do X, and it's not true. What I'm really saying is, I only really feel like doing X. I really could do X plus Y, like we saw in the PHS, like we saw in the Ish Kodesh. Sometimes we meet the answer, oh no, this is what I could do. False. Sheker. You could do a lot more. You could do a lot more. But sometimes you can't. Sometimes there are life circumstances which prevent me. I have to be truthful with myself about what my abilities are. Don't let yourself get away with laziness. Don't let yourself get away with saying, I'm mamit, this is okay. This is what I do. It's not a lot, but I do it with kavana. That's a great start. Even better than doing a little bit with kavana is doing a lot with kavana. But if for some reason circumstances in life prevent you from doing a lot, just know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with whatever you're doing as long as you give him your heart. The Gemara goes weiter. Maybe you'll say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs the kavanos for consumption purposes. Tamad lomar, im erav lo omer lecha, kili tevel omulo. V'ne'amar kili kol chai so yar behemos bahare elef, yadati kol of harim, v'ziz sadai imadi. Ha'ocha bas arabirim v'dam atudim eshte. So what says, Chodesh Baruch Hu says, lest you think that I need your karbanos because I'm hungry, Chodesh Baruch Hu says, I own all the animals of the field. Right? The fields are mine. The meat of even the strongest of animals are mine. Chodesh Baruch Hu says, I don't need your karbanos for consumption purposes. Lo amarti aleichem zivchu, kedei shetomru es se ritzono, v'yaase ritzoni. Furthermore, again, Chodesh Baruch Hu says, don't offer up karbanos to me in order that you'll say kidei shetomar as seritzono. See, I will say sometimes the person says, this is very profound because sometimes this happens in our Yiddishkeit, I'm going to serve God. Why? Why? So as seritzono, I'll do God's will, the yas seritzoni. In order that what? That God does not, like a spiritual quid pro quo. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say, you know, God, I'll scratch your back, you'll scratch mine. That's not how it works, I will say. Rather, again, lo lirtzoni atem zovchim, ela lirtzonchem atazovchim. Ultimately, again, do not go ahead, lo lirtzoni atem zovchim, ela lirtzonchem atem zovchim. Do not go ahead and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ultimately, again, lirtzoni. For my purposes, rather, again, go ahead and lirtzonchem, serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu for your purposes. Shene emar lirtzonchem tizbechuhu. Ultimately, again, because as the pasuk says, lirtzonchem tizbechu, for your will, lirtzonchem, for your will shall you offer up the karban. Davar acher, lirtzonchem tizbechuhu, lirtzonchem zivchu, ledaatem zivchu. When you go ahead and you offer up your karbanos, Rabbosai, ultimately, again, do it in a way that you're doing it for you. Rabbosai, this is an incredibly profound idea in so many different ways. That don't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you think he's going to give you something. This is the Altiu Kavodim HaMashem Shnes Harav HaManasa Kabal Pras. But understand that when you engage in your Yiddishkeit, so what happens? What happens? You're doing it for you. You're doing it for you because you get a lot out of it. Of course, there's schar, whether the schar is in this world, whether the schar is in the world to come. Ultimately, again, there's always schar. But when you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lirtzonchem tizbechu, lidatchem zivchu, ki debay minei shmor refuna, minay lemisasek bekachem shu pasol. Rabbosai, from where do we know, ultimately, again, that if one goes ahead and Misasik Bekachim. We'll say Misasik Bekachim means as I'm doing the karban, ultimately I go ahead and I have kavana for something else. Misasik. So we'll say Misasik means like I think I'm cutting a steak, but in reality I'm shechting a karban. How do I know that it's Basel Shinemar? V'shachat es ben abakar. Shetehe shchita l'shem ben bakar. Because what's it? As the pasuk says, you shall shecht the ben bakar. Shchita shabi for the sake of the ben bakar. Amru lo, zu biyadenuhu. I understand that's halacha. La'akiv mina. I was like, how do I know that it's ma'akiv? In other words, how do I know that halacha l'maisa? Ultimately what? How do I know that halacha l'maisa? If I am misasek, and I don't have the right kavana, ultimately, again, it's that it's ma'akib, that the carbon is pasul. Talmud lomar, lirtzon chem tizbechuhu, lidat chem zivchu. What says, the pasuk says, when you offer up the carbon, it should be lirtzon chem, it should be for your will, lidat chem, it should be with das. What says, the idea being that if you just shecht karbanos, thinking that you're doing something else, the carbon is not being good. Both say the message that the pasuk is leaving, that the parak is leaving off with, are two profound messages. Number one, echad amar ve'echad amamit uvavachi chavim libo l'shayin. Both say Chlish Baruch Hu understands that sometimes we just can't produce the great results, and God says that's okay. I'm just happy with any results you produce, as long as your results are produced with incredible kavana, an incredible heart, an incredible lev, and incredible sincerity. Number two, I will say, in our Yiddishkeit, it's not about give to get. It's not about serving Kadosh Baruch Hu because I want something back in return. But rather, again, it's ultimately for us. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the great opportunity to self-actualize, gives us the great opportunity to transcend ourselves, gives us the great opportunity to become greater than we ever thought we could become. And how do we do that? We'll say, how does that occur? Ultimately, again, that occurs through the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lirtzon chem tizbechuhu. When you offer to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, do it with your ratzon. Do it because you want to. Do it because you understand that it's good for you. Is there schar? Is there reward? Of course there is. There's a reward for everything. I'll say where that reward is, Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu will tell us how all of that works. But Lamaisa, again, when we do it ultimately for our own Ratzon, because everything we do in our Yiddishkeit, big and small, ultimately, again, I will say, is for our own benefit. So I'll say, we'll stop over here. We'll make the formal siyum in Mirat Hashem at some future time, but I just want to take the opportunity to reflect on this incredible accomplishment. Because Meseches Menachos, as you may have noticed, has not always been a smooth and easy ride. And it was tempting, I'm sure, at times to check out. But an incredible Yashar Koach, I will say to all of you who stuck with it. And there are many more who stuck with it also who aren't here. I don't mean like aren't here like, you know, who have passed on. I mean like who aren't here with us. I mean like physically, who either listen online or because of different scheduling things, who are part of our larger sheer entity. And I will say it's an incredible accomplishment because this for many of us is a mesechta that, to be honest, we would have never picked up on our own. And we would have never made a chavrusa in Meseches Menachos. And I will say we would have missed out. We would have missed out on the treasure of the Ribono Shel Olam. Because here for the last 110 days, 109 days, see that again, we've had the opportunity to offer karbanos, we've had the opportunity to stand in the Beis HaMikdash, we've had the opportunity to literally dwell in closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because every word about a karban, it was ki'ilu we were offering it up. And I will say, Ein Zuchus Gidola Mizo. Tomorrow morning, we start Meseches Chulin. I will say, an incredibly beautiful and magnificent Mesechta. I would ask, let's opt in. You know, I will say, the power of Torah is not when you dabble in it. And the power of Torah is not when you catch a few minutes here or a few minutes there. The power of Torah is when you commit yourself to something in its entirety and nothing breaks your kivias. Not Shabbos, not Sunday, not Beis Yaakov vacation, whatever it is, you remain committed, you remain engaged. A person, of course, can't always be here. That's I'm not talking about that. I mean, just an idea about if Kviyas Chulin is going to be an incredible, magnificent, overwhelming journey. I don't even have the words to describe how great it is. I will say it begins tomorrow morning. A brand new adventure, a brand new opportunity to learn more of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. In Chulin, we're going to learn some of the halachos of Shechita, the halachos of Yaradea, Basra B'chalov, Taroves. There's going to be some beautiful Agarata. And yes, do not worry, there's still going to be some Karbanos as well. I don't want you to think that we're done with Karbanos. Especially after this, who doesn't want to learn more Karbanos? We'll say that begins tomorrow morning, B'sha'at Tova U'mitzlachos. Let's go ahead and ultimately, again, engage. Let's go ahead and in Emirat Hashem, commit ourselves to not just doing it, Rabbosai, but showing up on time, being here, focusing, being engaged, even if we have some time, maybe doing a little bit of Chazara. We're going to try to start a program for Chazara also with Meseches Chulin. We'll unveil those details in Emirat Hashem over the next day or so. And I will say, but that's our goal. We have the great schos every single day to be able to learn the Chodesh Baruch Hu's Torah. And let's remember, Lirtzon Chem Tizbechu. Right? Ultimately, again, we're doing it for our Chodesh Baruch Hu, but ultimately, the real beneficiary of our Avoda is not Chodesh Baruch Hu. The real beneficiary of our Avoda, Rabbosai, is us. every single line we learn, every single word we learn, makes us into better people, holier people, better Ovdei Hashem. Mazel Tov. May we zoche Meretz Hashem to Messiah many more Masechtos together.